What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Baseball, Michael Govey, and Big Gentle Ben. That's him right there, Benjamin Chase, live! It's Monday night. It's Memorial Day here in the United States of America and Canada. It's just another day. We had our Memorial Day last Monday on Victoria Day, Robbie. That was our special time. And yep. I'm still lucky. I get to experience both as an American-Canadian.
Well, and the Canadian, or for Canadians, the king is on our soil right now. You know, very exciting, I guess.
But all hail.
Yes. That's the end of that. I would say I can hear all the excitement brilling over right there. It's just
yeah.
You into the king, Ben?
Yeah. No, never.
Oh yeah, me neither. No. Yeah, but that's a good joke because nobody cares about King Charles, but we do care about fantasy baseball. And today we're going to give you an AMA. It's an open door policy. You wanted to answer, or wait, you wanted us to answer your questions. If you want us to ask you questions, yeah, maybe we could ask them questions too.
It's got
to
be your bowl.
It does. That's right. It's going to be live and wide open here at AMA. Jump in the chat. Ask us questions, commentaries, uncertainties, statements. You want to go on the record and be the boss about a player or a situation related to baseball or something off topic. We talk about Jeeps, toilets, trucks, newspaper business.
We have a cooking question on the agenda already.
So. Oh, we do.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. Are we doing a brief news intro or are we just getting right into it?
We've got a little bit of news, very, very brief. That's a good thing. Okay. And this might be something we intentionally set up this way going forward just because it helps to speed up this part of our things. Call ups this week. I'm just going to rattle off some, and if any of these guys are like, oh, we should talk about that guy, we can come back to it.
As you get into this, sorry, real quick, Ben. This is the Slayer guy I was talking about last night. This is the newcomer. Okay. Very excited. Yeah. Todd Nolte, welcome to the show.
He's stopped by a few times.
So. All right, cool.
So this week, called up, here's just a list of names to throw at you, and you can think about it, not whatever. Braxton Ashcroft, that's actually announced today. Matt Shaw, Brandon Walter, Robert Hassel III, Mike Burrows, Carlos Rodriguez, Jacob Lopez, Denzel Clark, and Alejandro Acuña. Yes, Ashcroft was announced. He's going to be a long reliever, Mike.
They've
announced that already, but we have a question that has to do with he and Burrows later, so that'll be an interesting discussion. Carlos Rodriguez and Brandon Walter have both already been sent down. They came up for a spot start and got sent down already. The other one, did I not put Lyle on here?
Dalen?
Yeah, I must not have. But those they have some injury issues going on in the Washington Nationals outfield. So there is time available right now. If you have Alex Call, he's getting a lot of playing time right now. So, but other than that, Oakland, Lopez and Denzel Clark both came up this weekend when Oakland just like decided we're sending half of you out of here and we're bringing in another half of you. And from what I understand, public or not published sort of thing, there's some issues with they had some players that were sent down because they had options and they were bitching about the amenities at in Sacramento. Cheap owners get frustrated when they get confronted about being cheap. News at 11. All right. So because we had to do that, because we had folks come up, obviously some folks had to go down. Well, here are your list of guys who are either optioned, DFA'd, or released this week. And some of them are still in the DFA limbo, so they haven't had one way or the other. But Orlando Arcia, Brooks Baldwin, Moises Ballesteros, Austin Barnes, J.J. Bleda, Seth Brown, Tim Elko, Kyle Gibson, Logan Henderson, Rhys Hines, Carmen Majewski, James Outman, Chase Petty, Hunter Renfroe, Andrew Vaughn, and David Villar. Now, there's some pretty big-time names in there. I mean, we're talking Andrew Vaughn was a top five draft pick at one point. We're talking, you know,
Bleda a year ago.
Bleda as well.
Everyone was like, he's finally established himself.
Yeah.
2 years ago, it was Outman doing it.
One of the things very, very intriguing here, Moises Ballesteros was sent down. They end up having an injury to one of their catchers. And instead of calling him back up, they decided to get Mr. Hansy Rhys McGuire back up. And I think he hit two home runs yesterday already in his debut back.
Bye, Felicia.
Welcome back. So,
but he's it says a little something that Ballesteros got sent down and not called back when they needed somebody.
It was about playing him, right? Get him back down and let him just play.
They want playing time, and I think they're comfortable with Carson Kelly taking the lion's share of at-bats with Ayala out. And so that was the decision, is Ballesteros needs time to catch. That's kind of the consensus around, is the bat's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's that catching, if he wants to be a catcher, he needs to work on catching. And honestly, in the Cubs system, he'd probably be better off going to Double A, but you know, that's neither here nor there. So,
bye.
Bye.
Yes.
Bye.
No, that's from Blow. So, that's a deep cut on Blow. There you go. Blow buys. Wow. Blow bye. Bye.
Any of those guys, other than the ones we mentioned, I think you brought it up on the Discord, Mike, that Logan Henderson was one of those guys you kind of thought for a while was short term, but it really stinks. I mean, it's one thing when you're Kyle Gibson, you brought in, you're like, hey, can you help us fill in our number five spot? And he went, but Logan Henderson has done everything you could ask a guy to do.
He did it when he came up, and they sent him right back down. So I wasn't that surprised, because
the thing that bugs me is that they're replacing him with Deal Hall and Aaron Ashby, and neither one of them have ever shown me that they deserve a major league spot. So
yeah, but you know, Hall was the trade, so you know how this stuff goes, Ben, as well as anybody, that he was part of the deal, and then they got to still see it because he got hurt. And
I think 2 years from now, he is their new stud lefty reliever. He's going to be their Josh Hader or whatever you want to say. They're going to finally flip that switch, and he's going to be what everyone has kind of said from day one.
Well, Skywalker's happy. Logan Henderson gets sent down. Hopefully the owners, the league I play in, drop him. Yeah, that's an opportunity.
And unfortunately, when Rodriguez got a chance to come up and showed a lot of the same issues he had at the major league level, and those haven't been really an issue this year in AAA as far as his control and command. So that was unfortunate. Hey, guys, I don't know if you heard, Ronald Acuna Jr. is back.
Yeah, that's what that is.
First pitch he saw. Man. He hit.
Great job.
Hurt his shoulder
a long ways. But here's so he hit
too
first
soon.
Pitch he saw for the longest home run in the National League this year, 467 feet, and hit another one the next day. And over the course of the weekend, for about 30 minutes, also had the hardest throw from the outfield. But then O'Neill Cruz decided that he wasn't happy just hitting a ball 120 whatever miles an hour. He also threw one that was decimal points faster than Acuna from the outfield. They were both 104 miles an hour, but Cruz's was like decimal points better. So Ronald looks good coming back. George Kirby, on the other hand, not such a great start.
But he also wasn't dealing in the minors either, right? So he is realistically six-ish weeks behind in total ramp-up time because he didn't have any post-spring training any end of spring training little shutdown restart. He had a complete not pitching. So he's, I think, going to be at, you know, possibly for fantasy guys, he'll be an end of season charge. And ideally the Mariners are still playing well, so all those games are going to be extra important instead of just like, well, we're going to rest them.
And that's, you know, Kirby to me is a guy who's very similar to Spencer Schwellenbach in that he's got a lot of pitches. They're all really good pitches.
Yeah.
So, but you got to be able to locate, and he's got to be able to kind of have that switch it up, you know, thing where these are the two or three that are really working today and lean on those for one start. And the next start, he might not throw one of those pitches the entire start. And it might 100% be a feel thing coming back, getting that feel of what's working, what's not. So anyway, Braves traded for Jonathan Ornelas. Do you guys remember him as a prospect with the Rangers?
Absolutely. Kinda,
yeah. I mean, I don't know that there's anywhere in the current major league structure for him, but it's a lot of depth on the infield to have, which is always a good thing. So,
Yep.
Chris Taylor actually got signed.
Yay!
But by the Angels. So then the option.
Unfortunate.
Kyren Paris.
Bye-bye. Which totally makes sense.
Oh, it absolutely.
Started well, and then he's been horrific since.
Yeah. Hitting 190. Yeah. Real quick, did you mention that Victor Mesa was in that promotions? Because
no,
I just saw Chad.
Yeah. Did not get put into mine because I did this earlier today, and that was just announced.
That's fine.
This afternoon.
I didn't know this, so I'm glad Chad brought it up. Is he worth a flyer in a couple of weeks? He's worth a flyer, I think. Derek Hill sucks, man. Derek Hill's a quad A guy who's a really good defender, in my opinion. I don't see much else beyond his defense.
No. He's always been a defense first guy as far as major league value.
Right.
But that said, that was also Dane Meyers for a long time. And then Dane kind of took an extra step forward with his bat. So
here's to you, Dane.
You just never really know.
Go Tigers.
So
okay.
But
yeah, Chris Taylor's on the Angels, though. That's fun. Cool.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about that one. But Victor Mesa Jr., because prospects are awesome. Issue with Mesa Jr., everyone will probably, well, not everyone, most people will probably remember Victor Mesa, or Victor Mesa, the older brother who was the one who everybody cared about. And then at the time of the signing, I can't remember how long ago this was, 18, 19, I feel like a lot of people were like, oh, they also signed his younger brother. And it was for several millions of dollars at the same time, I think. And they were like, well, he could technically be the better one because we don't know all of this other actual information about Victor Mesa, or Victor, and his dad's a Victor. It's a whatever. Anyway, the one that didn't work out, the older one.
It's a George Foreman thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. but this one, the current one, has been the better kind of pure hitter, but he hasn't been a high average guy. And I just quickly checked. I don't know exactly what his injury was, but he's only got a little over 50 total at bats, I think, this year. And he's never been a power guy, but he had 13 home runs last year. I quickly noticed that. But I do have him in several deep dynasty leagues simply because he was a fun name several years ago. So the fact that he's up is good for all of us dynasty owners out there who kept a share. But I certainly wouldn't be taking up roster spots unless you have room to burn in your leagues, because the idea of Florida establishing guys and holding them hasn't yet really come to fruition, but they give guys shots, which we love, and we've mentioned that several times before. So if he can get on a heater, awesome.
Don't go crazy with your auction money this weekend.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, like, and I'll even say it along those lines. Dane Meyers, I know Gauvier was pumping him up, but it was 2-3 weeks of him really performing and consistently performing before I was willing to put in a pretty decent bid on him. And he was still, he just happened to still be out there in one of my leagues and was able to do such. But it's one of those where that's the type of player you're dealing with, and there's nothing wrong with being the guy who's holding off and getting a guy 3 weeks into a good run rather than, you know, jumping in on somebody and then you're holding a roster spot for a guy who, I mean, for all we know, he's up now, and by Friday he's back down, and you just held a roster spot for him, you know, and that's kind of
They signed some veteran and just dump him back down because they but they started the clock, so that's good.
The guys we just mentioned, there's a number of guys there who have now officially taken free agency, you know, who, you know, that have been released over the last couple of weeks. That list that we just gave, there was a list like that the week before too. So I mean, there's guys that are available if they really want to sign in somebody. Last night, one of those rare moments when you get really good commentary on a major news situation. Shohei Ohtani pitching. And Buster Olney happened to be one of the very few guys who was allowed close to the field with any sort of recording equipment other than a camera. And so he was able to really get some very good information. It sounds like Ohtani was up to 97, but they're pretty much, he's going to stay in the major league level. He's not doing any rehab sort of things. And so they're going to be.
Ben, that was left-handed. He was trying left-handed. Wow. Yeah.
Amazing.
genius.
But we're going to get all in your face and point out your faults.
With the heft in that contract, he's decided he's going to try to throw both sides.
So. There you go.
Yeah.
He's going to be excited. All right. Good deal.
Yeah. I had a bad shoulder, and I learned how to throw left-handed when I was 27. Yeah. Took some time, but I was okay. It was okay.
Mention here, guys. Ben, you'll like this. It's Minnesota related.
Yeah.
And everyone should remember who this guy is, right? Gabriel Gonzalez, Minnesota prospect.
Very high on him last year.
Good.
So
yeah, and I got to see him play last year, and I remember thinking, why is he in high A? I didn't think about it at the time. He's only 21 right now.
Wow.
But he was a cusp top 100 guy, I think, 3 years ago before the deal. Between the Twins and Seattle, and then he kind of, you know, took some stumbles, but it looks like he's at least at the moment doing well, or has had a few good series. So I just wanted to mention that because I was just kind of having a look at some of my rosters. Fantrax updated Gabriel Gonzalez. I thought, oh no, did he hurt something? And they said, oh no, he's playing well. So, but the three other prospects I was hoping to talk about, this said, oh, take a step back or did this or did that. So.
No, the only downfall for him at this point is the Twins still haven't figured out what they want to do with the Walner, Larnach mess of guys that are corner outfield.
They've been doing
only,
that for years.
DH only, because Gonzalez is not a center fielder, but he's a very athletic corner outfielder and would easily be a far better defender than either one of those guys. And with Emmanuel Rodriguez, very, very similar. That, you know, you put Buxton in between that, that's going to be a really fun defensive outfield, but they have to be willing to make a decision in order to get those guys up. Of course, it helps when they're healthy, too.
You have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that does make a difference.
I don't understand.
No one and knows. The fun of the money behind Major League Baseball, if they wanted to make a move as aggressive as you said, Ben, and put, you know, Buxton between two rookies, that's a very cost-effective outfield all of a sudden, which allows you to throw a lot more dollars wherever you see fit, which Minnesota typically has just chosen to give to Kyle Farmers of the world. But maybe they'll do something different if they find
that or put in a Polad pocket. But, you know, that's usually where it ends up is their pockets. But
Yeah, trash.
Go Tigers.
Yeah. Well, what's with the Tiger?
I was just gonna say.
Like, is there something wrong?
No, we're going
against the first place. Is that what you're
saying? The Tigers over the Twins. No, they're rivals. Twins have got nothing on the Tigers.
Although they are in second place now, the Twins are.
Yeah, it's a fun story, but I don't know. They don't scare me at all. It's all smoke and mirrors. And their pitching will be the X factor because that starting pitching is just not as good as Detroit's in the end. But we'll see.
I don't disagree on depth. I think Detroit can bring up a lot more guys and has more depth as far as the season is concerned, as far as quality. But get into a playoff rotation, I think it could be very interesting with something like Lopez and Ryan and Bailey Ober versus Scooble and pick two other starters.
Reese Olson healthy.
Yeah.
And Jack Flaherty if he gets together. That's
the point. Yeah. I think, and bullpen wise, there's very few bullpens that have as talented of arms as Minnesota's has.
It's a great bullpen.
Now that Marlin's there, and you got Jax and Sands, and then Duran closing it out. But then
there's Cleveland, so who knows?
Yeah.
It's a tough division. And KC, what a great division. AL Central has turned it around the last 2 years. Now one of the best divisions of baseball.
And then you got the White Sox.
Great job.
Well, on that note, guys.
Well,
you got something for us?
What's the transition? Transition into my Jesus Take the Wheel pick, talking about
Jesus Take the Wheel.
And as we all know, before you peer forward, you got to have a look back. So,
of course. Especially Mike Soroka, if it's a good one.
Yeah, which is the only reason I'm bringing it up. Mike Soroka, who has 3 starts under my Jesus Take the Wheel umbrella here, 15 and two-thirds innings, 14K, 1-1 record, 4.6 ERA, 1 quality start, and a 1.149 whip. Not overly impressive in points leagues, because some of you care about that. That is a 36 divided by 12 points per game average, which I'm going to call a win. I'm going to call that a win. It is a win for him.
It's a win for him, yeah. But yeah.
It's a win for a waiver wire guy who is 8% rostered today in Yahoo, which is up
he's missing bats
from a week ago. So.
He's missing bats, yeah. I have Soroka in a couple of leagues. I'm surprised.
Yeah, he's good. And Yarbrough, who I took last week, did have a pretty solid start. 5 innings pitch did not factor into the decision, but 8K is a 1.80 ERA. Yep. He's going tonight. So if you're watching, I only want positive updates. Otherwise, we'll just wait a week. And then I was hoping to be able to put Milwaukee's Chad Patrick up. They've been moving guys, but that game, I believe, started already, so I'm not going to bother. But I will go with Morrow Knight starter.
Wait, remember this, though, just real quick on the Angels. They used to be known as the team that didn't strike out. Remember? Like, you'd be like, oh, man, they were really, even if they weren't great, they didn't strike out a ton as a team. Now they strike out like crazy because all they do is swing for the fences, which has been good because they lead all of baseball in right-handed hitters or right-handed pitching dongs for teams.
Really?
Across all of them. Yeah. The Angels are number one against right-handed pitchers with dongs, but they're also the most Ks by far, like second place being like 70 Ks behind them. So very strange the change happening there.
Jeez. Well, I wish that's who my pick was going up against next week. But Chicago White Sox starter Shane Smith, 26% rostered on
effect?
Yahoo, 67% on Fantrax, which, of course, is far more dynasty geared. But of the 67%, only 37% are starting him. So he is available, and somebody would make you a trade of some sort for him if you want to do this, which is going to be the Mets tomorrow night in New York, which is not ideal. But he's been able to do good things against good teams and kind of mitigate damage. And then he's at Baltimore, which is an obvious complete game shutout. And then he's going to go next weekend versus KC in division. And in 53 and a third innings pitched this year, 49 Ks, 236 ERA, a 1.10 whip, and 3 quality starts, which points per game average. I just quickly checked in one of our leagues, Govier, 13.9 points per game average from a Rule 5 pick. And not universally liked because the team he's on does not get the wins going. But Shane Smith I would say, like the safest pick I can think. But his matchups, 2 of the 3 are not ideal. So
you want an update on Patrick today?
Yeah.
He started, and we've talked about him already. So DL Hall ended up getting the win out of him.
Ah! Wow, okay.
Patrick went 4 2/3 shutout. with six strikeouts against the Red Sox.
Oh, wow. Okay. But so he would have been okay.
He left left ahead, which is unfortunate because Crochet gave up a leadoff homer to Jackson Chourio. But for some reason, they pulled him. I was going to look here for pitches. Where's only 79 pitches. So I don't know if he got in.
Containing him?
The thought I had was, and I haven't pulled up the inning, but if D.L. Hall, they brought him in to have the lefty-on-lefty matchup at some point or something. They got into, a few guys on base, and you bring in Hall to do the lefty-on-lefty and then pitch a couple more innings.
Wasn't great.
Right.
2 1/3, only one K, a lot of walks and hits, but he still got the win.
Yeah, got a win, which, that's what matters in the end. So
I think you're making the right choice with Shane Smith here. That's the bottom line,
And the this whole year, the White Sox have talent in their rotation. They have
the rotation's not the problem.
They have zero anywhere else. But although Chase Meadroth has been pretty solid over the last few weeks. That's a guy who, if you don't have him, look at what, because right now.
We hyped him up on Friday and Sunday because that's like Britain's favorite guy ever.
Yeah. Second base, third base, and shortstop eligible.
Is he Venezuelan?
No.
By the way, Britain, hard times.
He's not
hard times of pronouncing Acuna. Yeah, he struggled with Venezuelan.
Yeah, Acuna. So. Oh, my gosh.
But Britain knows it. He's a great sport. You're the best, Britain. Thanks, buddy.
That was great. All right. So. Mike, I think we might be ready for an ad early on.
Because
we're going to go into our questions from the crowd. So
after these messages, we'll be right back. Bloop. No, it's not that one. I don't have that one. We could do a new one, or we could do a repeat. What are you guys feeling today? You guys want to strike up the classics?
If Eddie was here, we would absolutely do the Nestle one, but let's do a new one otherwise.
I like to reboot my players, so let's do new ads.
You like to? Is that a fact? Okay. Well, you got Abraham it, Robbie and Ben. We'll take a little break here on the Palazzo Podcast. Coming right up after this, it's your questions, live chat, exclusive, rest of show. Fully true, no lies, truth in advertising, as you will see right here now. Enjoy. Come on! Oh, geez. Got a delay here. And I know that you'll enjoy this because when you have commercials like this and they really can send a message that really helps you understand the product, that's when advertising is at its best. You ever want to win a Clio award? If you've never won a Clio award, you don't know what it's like to live. I don't know why we're having a problem with this one now. It's real sad. Stop the show dead in its tracks. I guess I got to go with the backup ad then. It's just processing for eternity, which is a tragedy because this would be a fun one. So instead, we'll just go with the Nestle's ad. That's fine. I love the Nestle's ad as much as anybody else. We're right back after this message from Nestle's, the very best.
This is Ed 209, the future of law enforcement in Delta City. You must rate and review the Palazzo Podcast with 5 stars immediately. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Acuna! There you go, Britton. Acuna! All right, that was fun. All right, so I thought we'd take it back to the beginning here, give people credit who came in early making commentaries, and that's fantasy sports. Right off the bat, that's the first question in the chat today. We got 280 people watching live right now. If you want to jump in the chat, you can do it on YouTube when we can respond to you, but on Twitter, we can only post it to see you. So if you want to get more interaction, YouTube's a better place to interact in the live chat. So how do you guys rank these starting pitching prospects, gentlemen? We got Bubba Chandler, Mizorowski, and Painter. Three hot names, or once upon a time a hot name in Painter. Where are we now, Ben?
In raw talent, Chandler, Painter, Mizorowski. But as far as who do I want to own in a single-year league this year, it's Mizorowski by far.
Even with what happened to Logan Henderson?
Yeah, because if they bring him up, they're bringing him up with a full-time spot. I think that there's been he has done enough this year in the minors, and what you're hearing from everyone around like that covers Milwaukee, they're talking about how the team is essentially creating space for him in their long-term plans as a starter, which that's something that was not true before. He was, you know, all sorts of arm talent, but just hadn't taken that step as a pitcher on top of a thrower. And now he's really taken that this year.
Robbie?
Yeah, I mean, Mizorowski is the guy for me. I am not excited on Painter, period. And that puts Chandler as the default too. And I wish I was more excited about a prospect pitcher, but we've talked about it before, specifically with Pittsburgh not necessarily being able to develop the guys. Skeens was not needing development. He was ready to roll. So, Mizorowski, Chandler, Painter. For me, it's just set that way. Like, talent-wise, Mizorowski could be trouble long-term, could be lose control, do whatever, but I'm going Mizorowski, Chandler, Painter.
So do we want to bring in kind of split in ones from the Discord too here, Mike?
I was just thinking that, Ben. Let me do a couple of these live ones, and then we'll go do a couple Discorders. That sounds great. How about this one from Todd? Todd, our newcomer, or Todd's been around, but to me, he's a newcomer. Love having you here, Todd. Subscribe, like, do everything you can to promote the show now, 24/7. Lodolo worth holding or selling low? Is he low? Is it that? I have him in one league. He's not low, is he? I mean,
he's low.
He is low? Oh, boy.
I'm just kidding.
He had a bad outing? He's got 3.39 ERA for the season.
I would gladly buy him if somebody wants to sell him low.
Yeah.
No, if you want to say because he's had a couple, I mean, really his last five have not been great overall.
Right.
But part of that was one big blow up at Washington. Everything else has been two or three innings. He's getting at least into the sixth inning most starts. I would absolutely keep hold of him because this is a guy, this is kind of what you thought he was going to be. This isn't someone who really was expected to be a front of the rotation, going to dominate sort of pitcher when he was taken out of college. It was, this guy is pretty much a finished product and he'll be able to step in as a mid rotation lefty and, you know, 63 innings, 55 strikeouts. That doesn't blow you away by any means. But that's perfectly fine when you're only walking 12.
It's just that last year he had a better K to nine.
Yeah.
And I think the idea was continue. If the rest of the stat line was similar, but the K to nine was higher, I think it would be more promising. But it's, I guess, like you said, he's definitely proven more of an SP3-4 than he has a 2-3. Not really, like you said, it wasn't really a conversation for a one, but I think a lot of people for Dynasty thought he was going to be taking a bigger step forward. And now's not a bad time to do a 2-for-1 where you would trade Lodolo for your Jake Irwin and get a highly touted prospect possibly from someone who thinks that maybe there's more in the tank.
Ooh.
In that vein, that's not always a deal you can make, but that would be one where I think you would do it. I certainly wouldn't be giving up on him. It's one of those, he's got value, give me your guy of value who people don't tend to like much, and then I also want this prospect of sorts.
Here's an interesting stat. Did you know that this is now the second season that Nick Lodolo is leading the majors in hit by pitch?
I did not know that.
His rookie season, he hit 19 batters.
Holy smokes.
He has hit 7 already this year, and so far in his career, over 58 starts, he has 51 hit by pitch. So he's basically plunking one person per game.
He owns that inner part of the plate, baby. That's what I'm talking about. He's a man's man on the mound. I think Lodolo came out strong in 2022. Oh, I remember he had a couple of double-digit K games in late August, September, because I had him in 2022. I think people really got jazzed up. Like, wow, where's the Tarek Skubal in this guy? But he's not
right.
Tarek Skubal. But you're right, Robbie. There is some more K's that should be here. And if they're not going to come back, then there's a sign of something else happening here.
The other thing I've noticed, and I'm going to scan over to make sure I'm not an idiot here. Nope. This is spot on.
Hey!
He's lowered his home run rate. And
yes.
And that is, it very well may be intentional pitch usage, intentional things that he's doing. I could pull up Savant, but right now I'm not going
to. And the walk is the whole run, one walk less per nine entirely. That's a big jump.
But the home run thing, he very well may have changed. He's always had a pretty solid sinker. He may be featuring that a lot more. I haven't pulled it up to look at it this year. But that could be a big reason. If he's pitching too weak contact, knowing that I'm in Cincinnati, anything that gets in the air has a real good shot of never coming back. Might be what we're seeing here.
So. Got one more from Harry Brooks, attorney at law. Then we'll head over to the Discord questions, which were previously on the Pulotto podcast. Better prospect.
I assume that's Kurtz.
Kurtz or Kags? Real simple. This is everyone. These
long-term
guys are
Kags.
Long-term
Kags.
Both
for
of you
this
guys.
Year, Kurtz. But, long-term, absolutely Kags. Just because Kurtz has
the prospect I'd rather roster is Kags.
Yeah.
Why, Robbie?
More better at baseball. I feel like
perfect.
There's
lock
a better lineup. Yeah. Better lineup potential long-term with KC also. Not that the A's can't put a lineup together out of scraps. They just always seem to. So that means it's hard to really core now. You got Langoliers, you got other guys that can do things, but that's my preference. And we talked about Kurtz last year too. Well, moving to Vegas, we don't know what the Vegas park is going to be, right?
I'm going to guess, though, it's still going to be better than KC. That's just my guess, but you're right. We don't know. We don't.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Yeah, interesting. I didn't know it was so clear cut. Okay, it's good to know. Let's over to the Discord side of things. We did, if you didn't know, we have a Discord. You guys can talk to us anytime you want to. You can jump in all the channels and ask questions, and we set it up so you could ask questions before we did the show. Ben, who's up?
So we have a couple of questions for the first that we can put together. These were asked by one person. Will the Marlins still put Gustin Ramirez behind the plate when Joe Mack gets his shot in the majors? Which, if you are not familiar, Mack is an extremely talented defender who, if you would have said at the beginning of 2024, the Marlins have a catching depth problem, as in they have too many catchers, I think people would have thought you were absolutely effing nuts. Because Joe Mack had not hit to that point. He was a good defender, but had just not turned that switch on to start hitting, which he did over the course of 24, and just hasn't stopped. But then they go out, they rule five Liam Hicks. He's turned into a really good find for them.
Liam Hicks, 87 at-bats, four home runs, eight walks, 12 stolen bases, 276, 347, with a 483 slug. Like, come on, rule five. That's beautiful. And he came from that catcher clinic that is Detroit.
Do think should work for in Augustine's favor as far as playing time is the Marlins sorted out their crap first baseman issue early on this season.
So
they've gotten rid of a few guys. They've had them show that they were crap. And so now he can take over and play there, and he should have enough catchers games behind the plate right now that he's still a catcher for you next year. What you're worrying about here is 27, if you're in a dynasty league, that he's likely going to not have that eligibility in 27 going forward, which, frankly, if that's a big worry, you got a whole lot of good things going on if you're really worrying about a guy's position eligibility in 2 years. But I guess I haven't looked to see exactly how many games Ramirez has behind the plate, but I'm pretty sure in all formats he's at that spot.
He is, absolutely. The only one, certain formats he doesn't have first, but he's catcher universal. Yep.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's...
I know. Trust me, I know.
You have to say, you were pretty heavy in on him. So
I still believe he's like actually one of the best pitchers they have in this team. I will say,
he's 15 games at catcher and 13 at DH. There are some leagues where you need 25. So I could see where that could be a little hairy, but he should have time by the time we get out of...
Jesus. Britain can nail Mac, yeah.
Well, neither is Augustin Ramirez. Augustin Ramirez is from the Dominican, so
there you go, Britain. How about that, huh? How about them apples?
Were you guys asking about where Ramirez was playing, or like what his split was? Is that what you're saying about? So 15 at catcher, 13 DH. So far.
He might have been a DH. I don't care. This guy's a 30 dong hitter to me. I know he plays in Marlins Park, but he's not going anywhere. He will not be demoted again at all. I'd be shocked if somehow he was sent back down.
It's the OBP that he's got to be, that I would be concerned with. 308. I know he's got power, but he's got to walk a little more. 2-1 strikeout decay. It's under 20% for strikeouts, so that's, it's not the worst thing.
That's still the big thing, is he is keeping the strikeouts fairly low, which is, that was an issue for him in the minors. And so to have that, take that kind of a step forward still in the majors is a big deal. But yeah, he's not had Kyren Paris level of cool off, but he's absolutely cooled off from the guy that he started out.
It was too hot. Yeah, it was too hot. It's like four home runs in like 5-6 games, and it was up against the Dodgers. There was a display, so everybody's looking nationally at him. Stick with Augustin Ramirez. This guy's awesome, dude. I'm telling you, he's a 30 dong hitter, and that walk rate will go up. He could do a 12% walk rate in 100 plus games in a minor league season. He can do it again.
So since that first little burst, guys, he's had a 196 average, 669 OPS. And that's it. Like, he also didn't strike out his first 10 at-bats. So in the last 100, it's gone up a bit. But again, like you're saying, he's also now in the majors, and there's still legit power and all those things. So, just a learning curve.
So Chad says, let's hope he doesn't have Kyron Pierce cool off, since that gets you demoted for Chris Taylor in 2025. All right, what else? This is a multi-question?
Yeah, the other question from that same guy was, and which this one might require some thinking. I have a couple of guys on trigger, I guess, if you want to call it that. Which under-the-radar prospects have the best chance at making an impact in the majors this season? And
this
we
year?
Did cover, yeah, we did yeah, cover like we did a that. Few of them like last week, but some guys that maybe we haven't touched on, and it's just because Oakland's throwing things into the wind, and Colby Thomas is one of my favorite athletes that's still in AAA. I'm not sure what I think of his batting average would be in the majors, but this is a guy who would be a legit 2020 threat, or better. Another one that I was looking at, gosh darn it, now I just lost my spot. Tyler Locklear is another one who, depending on what the Mariners are doing and what they're
looking
for,
it?
Which he's still producing. So, I mean, it's kind of one of those where, yeah, as long as he's not under the radar, but Justin Crawford is 21 in AAA and can run like the wind. You don't think that there's a chance that he gets a little bit of time at the end of the season this year, at least as a pinch runner, you know, defensive replacement at the end of games. That could be worth your time. And the other
Everybody
one
wants Otto Kemp, buddy. They don't want Justin Crawford.
The other one that's really fun is Petey Halpin. I don't know if you guys remember Petey. Yeah,
2020.
He was, one of those wonderful 2020 draft guys out of high school, and just kind of took his time getting to the major leagues, which nothing wrong with that.
Well, he was also put on the 40 man in the offseason, which was very exciting. Ooh. I remember you mentioned that because I got a couple Halpin shares.
And then he took a big step forward this year in just utilizing his natural speed, which is funny because he's never been a stolen base guy, but he's a guy who has legit plus speed. Now he's hitting .291, but he also has a .411 BABIP. So that's maybe just a little bit inflated.
Joan Moncada 2019 territory.
There you go. But plays a very solid defense in the outfield, would give you and he has a little bit of power. This isn't a 20 home run guy, but this is a guy who could hit you quite a few doubles and 10 to 15 home runs. Oh. So that's just an interesting one because Cleveland's always looking for somebody who can offer them some level of offense.
Their offense sucks right now, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy as a Tigers fan for that. It's amazing that they took 3 of 4 in the series over the weekend, but it was all pitching, and it was a lack of Tigers hitting because Cleveland has got guys that are just not producing, and they have to decide, hey, we're trying to win a World Series. Like, Cleveland is a legit contender in that realm, or at least they should think they are, according to the progression of their team right now. So, I don't know. They got some outfield decisions that could change there, and I think if they can get Halpin involved, they got Kafis. There's guys that Cleveland could give a shot here, but I know not every lottery ticket's going to hit right now either. Maybe they need a trade. Yeah. Anyways, let's not go down that road. I regret saying that immediately. I know we'll start talking about the possibilities. Anything else to this multi-part question, Ben?
Well, no, but Robbie, did you have any guys that you can think of?
Oh, yeah, Robbie.
Yeah, last week. Yeah, I'm here too. Last week we mentioned Andrew Morris. So I'll just bring up him again. This is the pitcher with the Twins. So he's still no relation. But he's a good option. And then I just had, and because some ad popped up, I've temporarily lost it. So give
me
a moment.
Damn ads will get you, man. That sucks when they do that to you. What and the best part is I got a button for you.
Zach Morris is trash.
Now I know why you brought it up.
I didn't mean to. Now I know.
That's
you
a
ever
podcast,
seen those videos?
Right?
Yeah, it's a video series on Funny or Die. They explain how actually
all
terrible
the things he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so he was funny. A terrible person, a con artist, all this.
Yeah.
Jacob Marse with the Marlins is the other guy. So he's no longer a top flight prospect. It was two years ago with San Diego, got traded, really has not done well. He's stealing a whole bunch of bases. He's not hitting for crap at AAA, but talking about Marlins moving guys up, this could be a possibility to see him either move and go somewhere, because certain playoff teams are willing at times to punt if you're an excellent base dealer. Esturi Ruiz is also I think he's leading all of minor league baseball in stolen bases.
Dodgers.
But he could be a move guy and promote. So those are some other, I mean, obviously Ruiz isn't a rookie, isn't a prospect, but yeah, he is. And then of course you can always just look and see who's doing well in double A that is in a terrible organization, or with Detroit, how you Lee.
There's this good possibility. Like,
and I love Lee, but well where?
On a bench. One we didn't mention, and I think most folks are aware of who he is at this point, but Joe Boyle just watched his last start in the minors. And I mean, the guy just, you know, he was
looks
really
like he's ready for the Tampa Bay debut, huh?
Well, he debuted earlier with Tampa, but he's already.
Yeah, he got one shot.
He tried to send him right back down, which was,
amazing. Okay.
Yep.
You had a great one start, and he hasn't been back since.
Yeah, which is...
Thank you. Yes, you're right.
Classic Rays. It's fine.
Classic Rays.
It reminds me of Boyle. Royal Oil. Anybody Boston's. Love that song. Royal Oil, won't you bubble and boil. I think it's actually about heroin, now that I learned it when I did a deep dive.
How about Boyle Rules? I mean, you know...
Oh, Boyle Rules. That's even better. Great job, Ben.
Great job.
Nice work. Any more parts to this parted question?
Nope, that's it.
There's always going to be guys, but like,
yep,
as far as some is. To, you know, maybe take a look on more now than later. Nelson Arada, I think you had mentioned last week, Ben, when we were talking about. But again, that's a double A angel. Risky, you know, the Angels would have to continue to overachieve, and let's not get into that.
Let's not get into that. Well, we're getting into it here on the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, doozy.
Utah.
Benjamin Chase, Robbie Baseball, Michael Gauvier. Follow Big Gentle Ben on Twitter. Of course, we got the link to his Medium as well. Got a great site there talking about baseball. What's the next post going to be, Ben? Do you know yet? Or are we in between posts?
I don't know.
That's a good answer. That's fine.
10 prospects. I don't know what they're going to be. But
I put you on the spot. That's okay. You could check out your latest post, though.
Last one was on 10 guys who had just recently debuted. Probably wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to throw one or two debut guys in there each week, just because we're having so many. That might be one thing I kind of just consistently do is throw.
Do more, Ben. Do more. You're not doing enough.
Your family will always be there.
Yeah.
that could be in question.
All right, so go back. Skywalker was here earlier. What's the best current TV series to watch? Here we go. Anybody got a good recommendation right now?
Well, you know, you brought this up because you gave me a hard time for my bye. But Big Mouth just released their last season. So, you know, it was a pretty solid season. So
I need to go back.
Good way to go out.
Yeah.
So,
Robbie, what about you, the lady? Anybody else? You and your son?
With
my wife,
we watched, we're in the midst of Black Mirror. We just finished.
What a fun time. Easier to
have it pull up. The Black Mirror ones are always fun. And, you know, those are the put your phone down, watch the episode ones. I mean, YouTube, outside of watching all of the Palazzo podcast stuff, you know, you can always catch DeBoss Garage, who will be coming to Mopar Fest August 16th and 17th. Get your ticket now. Use code at DeBoss for an extra $5 off your registration.
Great job.
Falling Asleep, you can't go wrong with Law and Order. And it's always current, right? Because it never goes away. So
crime never ends.
Yeah, The Last of Us, we were watching. I had to go quickly over here to see. There was one more. I'm really interested to watch the show Duster. Obviously named after the vehicle, but
I thought it was named after the jacket.
It's got the Duster on the cover.
Either way,
I guess we'll have to watch the show and find out. Let's watch it together, hold hands maybe. Hacks, have either of you guys watched Hacks?
I've been told to watch Hacks a million times. I still haven't watched it.
I have not. It's one of those, like, you're really going to get along with them, kind of, you'll like this guy. And I'm like, well, let me come to it when I'm ready.
Yeah.
I know, right? It's like if someone makes me watch a YouTube video. Yeah, it bothers me. Oh, that movie was terrible from what I heard on Cinema 9.
I mean, it was interesting to watch, but I wasn't... I could watch it two nights ago. Interesting to watch, but I think it labeled it as a comedy.
Really? Oh, I haven't seen it. Robert Pattinson. I know that. Maybe I'll watch it then. Are you recommending it?
I mean, to watch it, then you could tell me, should it be on Cinema 9 for
Prestige,
or should it be on How Did This Get Made for its How Did This Get Madeness? So.
I did get your question last week from your text a few weeks back. So,
did you get in? I haven't listened.
I did it. I got you covered, buddy. Todd Nolte. Okay, back to baseball now. For me, I just watch movies and I watch YouTube clips all the time. I never watch TV shows anymore unless it's actually... I actually watched an NBA basketball game. That was a TV show. And a baseball game. So, Hayden Birdsong against the Tigers today was disappointing. Even though he struck out six, he had a... It wasn't that great. Rutschman's going on the concussion protocol. Is that official?
I hadn't seen that as official. Cause that
yeah, neither had I.
Sad,
or maybe Todd's worried that it might happen.
Yeah, you said with the hit that he took.
Oh, he's not going. At least according to the blurb on Yahoo, it says he avoids concussion IL. So I guess if that's to be believed.
But, maybe that's the IL, but they're still going to put him into the, take this series off situation.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. We've seen that. He can miss five games, no problem. Hey, he didn't miss seven. He missed six, which could be a bummer. What do you guys make of Gavin Williams over from TM? His start versus the Dodgers. Would you ignore it as it was the Dodgers? Oh, did they kill him today? Damn it.
Gavin's just not showing all year long so far at this point.
He had a nice little stretch the last three or four games of his last three or four starts, but it wasn't dominant Gavin Williams yet where it looked like he was back to his old self, Ben. I would agree with that.
Yeah, let me give you the start line for just the innings pitched for Williams this year. He opened five innings, then three, then five, 6 2/3, which was his season high, April 16th, 6 1/3, 2, 4, 5, 5, 6, 4 2/3 today. Like mentioned, beat up. It's not the worst. He's been beat up a few times this year, but he just hasn't done next step that we were expecting from him.
It's not Tanner Houck level, but
just the consistency has been a real bummer. Yeah.
You're afraid to put him in last 2 weeks prior to this start, though. He was looking okay. 12 Ks, 11 innings, a win, a quality start, 245. So it just hasn't been dominant. It hasn't been lead your rotation, and everybody paid a lot more in fantasy for him than what they're getting out of him for sure.
Yeah, K-9's there. There's no doubt about that. I do wonder, the elbow issue last year, is there somehow some way that maybe changed his mechanics at all, or he's actually feeling it in some way? I don't know. I can't prove any of that, but elbows just rarely go back to, hey, we're good. Everything's fine now.
Mm-hmm.
Without some type of proper procedures. So, anywho, thanks for that. TM, too much information? No, there was no I on it. It was just TM. One more here. We'll go back to the Discord side of things. What about Chad saying, any chance that George Lombard will actually skip AAA and just go right to the Yankees because of his speed and his excellent play?
No, they're not.
I can't imagine that.
They're not in a season this year to where they can do that sort of work with a prospect. If he was going to skip and do that sort of thing, it would have been an open the year sort of thing and let him take his lumps like they did with Volpe a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But no, he might get himself some looks in August, September, and then maybe go spend some time in Arizona to get prepped to be a starter next year. So we might get to watch him down in Arizona this year. But I don't think that that's an expectation there I can't see that. One I wanted to bring up, I forgot and my brain did not want to spin. I was like, there are two shows I love on Apple and I could not bring them up. Severance,
great show. I hear
Shrinking Shrinking is an amazing show. My wife,
two seasons available.
Very, very
interesting. It's such a great show. Harrison Ford's grumpy. Jason Segel's goofy. It's everybody else who mixes into a lot of great characters. Yeah. Todd saying the Tulsa King with Sylvester Stallone. I have not seen that one. So Todd,
I haven't seen that either.
There's a lot of shows that bleed together, like the Tulsa King, Mobland. I see these advertisements, and I'm like, I don't know. They all just keep coming out. We're trying to play fantasy baseball here. I can't watch all these TV shows.
Well, I mean, you need a job where you can watch it while you work.
Yeah, man, if I got paid to do Cinema 9 and Palazzo, then that would be the dream. I could watch baseball and movies and make a living off of it. What a dream, what a dream. Ben, back to you here on the Discord side of things on our AMA Monday.
Here comes the food question. And this is from our man, Joe Lowry, who asked this question on the Discord. What is Robbie's favorite dinner to make at home?
Oh, great question.
Fish. I love cooking fish.
Really?
Absolutely. Fucking love it.
Any
That's
old fish?
My favorite thing to no, but my favorite thing to cook is like rainbow trout. I'll cook salmon as well. Skin on. Gotta have skin on. And then you about 60% heat in the pan, get the pan warm, put the butter in, let it start to brown. Smells a little nutty. Yep. Okay, good. Put a little bit of oil. Drop your fish in. Press your fish down with your hand. Don't be a wuss. Set your hand down so the skin lays flat. And then you cook it low and slow, skin side down.
It's a frying pan?
It's a frying pan. Saute okay. pan if you're saute you know, pan. Human. anyway, that's what I like to do. And then I'll do, you know, new potatoes with that. Fingerling potatoes are delicious. Some form of potato is great with that. And then you... pre-cook those, cool them, let them sit to the side. Once your fish is out, you rest your fish, and then you dump your potatoes that are already cooked in, and you saute those up in the fish deliciousness with the butter, and then you slap in some other veg of some sort, seasonal veg is delightful, and that's great. That is key dinner, and that's what I had last night. We had mashed potatoes, though, and then went out and played some Sunday night baseball. And 2 for 4 reached on base on an error for one. So no big whoop, guys.
Beautiful. Wow, what a that was great, Robbie. Britt was when's the orange roughy making a car?
When the ocean does. It'll come back when the oceans do and the fish in general.
Yeah. Orange roughy. Wow.
That was a two-parter from Joe. So that was his first part because he said, I don't know if you guys really want to talk about that on a baseball.
Of course we did. Oh, that was so worth it.
I'm like, do you know us? Come on.
We don't get enough talk from Robbie about food, Ben. He keeps a low profile on that side. He likes trucks. He likes baseball.
I'm actually surprised that because Joe's a big truck guy, too. I'm surprised Joe didn't bring up a truck comment. But
I think we 86 those.
Joe brought up a baseball one too. He says, which recent call up Nationals outfield prospect would you rather have for Dynasty, short and long term, Hassel or Lyle? And I will say, if you had asked me this coming into the season, just going off of what you saw at Arizona Fall League for Hassel kind of being his highest point so far in his career. And Lyle just kind of being the steady Eddie sort of kind of perfect fourth outfield type, I would have taken Lyle because that's a guy that's going to have a career that probably where Alex Call is right now, that's the kind of guy that Lyle can be and should be. Hassel has taken a step forward, though, and has continued it this year. And I don't know that I'm ready to call him a future major league starter, but he's at least in that same type of boat where he could be a spot starter slash fourth outfield type. Like, okay, you know, obviously let's bring some Braves into it. But what Eli White is doing right now with the Braves, you know, where he's got decent speed, decent defense, and can play if there's some injuries or somebody's dumb enough to take steroids in the offseason. So he can cover you for a little bit and then, you know, move back into a speed and defense fourth outfield role and hit enough to where when he is called on to start for a little bit, he doesn't hurt you. I would maybe gamble a little bit and take Hassel, but I think that that's exactly where it's at is it's, are you wanting to take a little risk? Because that's probably Hassel. If you're wanting more of your steady, you know what you're getting, Lyle is probably your guy. It's not going to be flashy, but he's not going to probably hurt you either.
Yeah, Lyle doesn't strike out a lot. Got a great ability to make contact, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So does Hassel's not terrible at that either. I just, boy, Hassel at this point now is getting a lot more runs from some other people. It's like, you know, he could steal bags. He could be a base threat. But when Cruz is back, Cruz is a guy. And then Jacob Young's a guy they love for defense. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they'll sacrifice Young's defense to play Hassel more. Or he get Lyle will go back down for sure.
Yeah.
Right, Robbie? I mean, I don't know.
Call's going to stick around when healthy. I guess he's just their default fourth to fifth type guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would rather have Hassel just on the potential ceiling. And the fact that he was this, you know, San Diego pumped up prospect that everybody was excited about, the big trade with, I can't remember the guy's name, Shado, something like that, that went the other way to San Diego.
Shabba Ranch?
And for Soto.
Mr. Loverman?
And then Hassel kind of did the fallback where everybody was like, oh, no, he's not good. And everyone loves to dump on those guys, right? Hassel's not doing what he was supposed to do. He's not a superstar.
Yep.
He's got great talent, as we've mentioned. And like Ben said, you know, articulated very well. He has turned the corner. He is developing properly. I'd rather roster him.
Is there any doubts about Cruz going to AAA here? I think Chad is implying that. Are we sure Cruz
won't go to AAA? The options game? I mean, maybe they could extend it.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where he might go, quite frankly, the Matt Wallner route right now, where he's crushing it in AAA, but he's not maybe fully 100%. So, oh, look, his hamstring is still bothering him. So we're going to put him on the minor league restricted list for a couple of days, which allows us to then extend his time down for rehab another week or two, because we can say, hey, look, major leagues, we have an injured guy. We can't just bring him right up because he's hurt.
Yeah.
So that's, it wouldn't surprise me if that's what they want to do with him. I still, Wallner's is legit. He is actually hurt. He has not played outfield for multiple games before. He ended up not playing a couple of games this week. So
I did want to go ahead then.
Cruz is a guy who I really think was turning a corner. I mean, so I can't, it stinks that he got hurt when he did, because it's, at least in his approach at the plate, he was turning a corner. So that's really frustrating to see. So
in his last two games, guys. Sorry, Ben. You're just turning a corner. He was, you know, in the game he got hurt 1-for-1 with a home run, and then the game before 2-for-4 with a home run, 3 RBIs. So that's a positive thing to take out of, you know, or not take out of it, but to have happen pre-injury.
Yeah.
So playing the hot hand, I would like to think Washington's not looking to play the suppression game, but like you said, Ben, it's easy to do.
Washington has nothing to play for this year in terms of record. It's all about development and building a core here that could be good next year, I would think. Real quick, it's not in the questions, but Mayer got called up. Marcelo Mayer got called up, and I'm just curious because a lot of people asked about him on Friday and Sunday. Ben, real simple, I just want to know, is fantasy appeal here or no?
Not this year. He's kind of always been a slow burn guy in the minors, where he comes up to a level, he takes a little bit, he adjusts. And then second half of a season at one level, or second season at a level, is when he really turns it on. And that's exactly what I would assume with him, you know. And the other end of things with him that you got to worry a little bit about, he has just been an injury magnet throughout his minor league career. And it's not like, holy crap, he's out for the entire year, but he has never had more than 424 plate appearances in a season. He's never played 100 games.
Wow, dude.
I mean, there's just, he's kind of out consistently finding something that keeps him out for a while. And so that's a little bit of a worry for me that may have nothing to worry about. Yeah, he's a
Joe,
mayor.
Did you get that? Yeah, did you mix in the potatoes because you heard Robbie's response to your fish or your food question? Get back to me when he's a governor, and then I'll be interested. Okay, you got it, buddy.
Of course.
Robbie, any fantasy appeal for you, or same story?
I mean, obviously, Abraham Toro's the Red Sox you want to be picking up. Multi-position eligible. David Hamilton, outside of the mayor coming up and disrupting his last week, had turned the corner legitimately, just not getting playing time to actually do it. Because Trevor's story's fallen off a cliff.
So yeah,
terrible. That
stint, he has just consistently been hitting well below 200. Not just below, well below 200. And David Hamilton picked it up and was hitting over 300 until last week's 1-for-11. I had to see exactly how bad it was, but it was 1-for-11.
There's a lot of Red Sox who sucked last week. Campbell's been sucking too. Yeah. If you look around the Red Sox, I don't know how they won that game 19-5 because they got a lot of 2-for-22s. So Sadani Rafael is like 1-for-his-last-19, Robbie, so it's weird.
Yeah, and so they have a lot of those infielders that we talked about that are not producing, and then the ones like Hamilton who have been able to pluck away, they're not going to get those at bats.
Yeah.
Apparently, Boston fans hate Hamilton. I was looking around on Twitter last night. I'm like, can I add Hamilton here? And I was looking for some news and notes, but I guess he's got this kind of pocket in the Boston fandom now where it's, oh, David Hamilton, why, which is too bad because I like him. Britton Allen, you might know him, friend of the show. Any interest in the Royals? Called up John Rave. What a name. Another outfielder for the Royals to try to plug in until Caglianone shows up. We just had movement here in Detroit over Memorial Day weekend, which is a huge techno festival. So apropos.
Rave was repeating AAA. 27-year-old guy repeating AAA. And I was just going to say, I think, and it is, the first time in his professional career that he is hitting above 300 at any level, at any level so far, or slugging above 500, or on base above 350. Well, okay, he's had 350, low 350s before.
Lightning in a bottle. So
he's really hitting well right now in the minors, and quite frankly, the Royals just need someone that can hit. Nobody is hitting the ball for them right now, except for Bobby Witt Jr. And that's kind of a need.
Mikel Garcia hitting 350.
Yes. You know, yeah. I should qualify that. Cause yeah, Garcia has had a great year, and I've had him a lot of places. He's got multiple position eligibility. He's had a really good year to be an owner.
Oh, but, Chad, come on. No, yeah. I will say Omaha.
Chad was thinking what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Third year at Omaha.
Sudden jump. And Omaha's producing a lot of stats this year. I don't know historically how homer happy that park is anyways, but there's some guys who are journeymen or have big numbers this year.
It has been dry early in the upper Midwest. So normally it is really wet, which does not allow for early season power production in the same way, because wet in this area is wet in 60. Not wet in, 90 like it is down in like Atlanta or Florida. It's a very different feel, and sometimes the ball actually juices because of that. Not so much here.
Omaha, underrated Connie Crow song, Britton. I agree. Omaha, stab in middle America. I'm Adam Duritz. I got weird hair. And I've had sex with a lot of attractive women. Good for you, Adam Duritz. Congratulations. All right, so we got here, guys. Can you guys want to finish up and do the? No, I have to go and pick up Leanne, but you guys could do a couple more questions if you're still here.
I just want to finish on Rave right now on Fantrax. Okay. He's got all three outfield eligibility, which is always good if you're in your deep dynasty leagues.
Yes.
0-for-2 tonight with a walk, 2 Ks. Been batted 6th, which is solid.
Yeah,
in Cincinnati.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
we have one other one from Discord that we can answer, and it's a real easy answer because if you're on our Discord, our Palazzo Discord, our boy Christian Crespo answered this one perfectly. But the question is, and I added a name in here, why did the Pirates call up Mike Burrows and now Braxton Ashcraft instead of Bubba Chandler? And Christian's answer, which is the correct one in my opinion, is they saw what happened with Skeens. He came in, he was able to win the Rookie of the Year, which got him an extra year of gave him an extra year where they don't control him, and yet they also didn't earn a draft pick, and so they don't want that. And so it would not surprise me at all that
old Nuttington,
that you end up having Chandler be a guy that doesn't, that is still rookie eligible at the end of the year. And that is going, I think we've had a question on Chandler every week since the open of the season.
Yep.
When is he coming up? And
yeah,
I mean, it would not surprise me based on, that comment that Christian made. That's exactly right on. That's exactly what's going on, is the Pirates are trying to save themselves money in the future by not bringing him up, which really sticks. So
that's a really, really great answer, Christian. Couldn't have said it better myself, my friend. Well done. Chad's begging for this before we leave. With Terang's emergence, who is the long-term odd man out between Bryce Terang, Brock Wilkins, Jesus Madé, and Pena, assuming Madé and Pena both do the Super Prospect debut before they're 21?
You're doing the hot young thing mistake because there
baseball
are
doesn't do this.
Significantly better. Well, but there are significantly better players, or there are very good players that aren't even mentioned here. Cooper Pratt being one of them, who has had a very solid year in Double A, who would also figure into this. I don't know that you worry about it really at all, because by the time they get to the majors, Madé and Pena are going to tell you what they are by then, you know. But it's right now they're in single A ball, you know. Pratt's in Double A and 20 or 21 in Double A and hitting well. That's a lot more interesting to me than a 17-year-old in A ball. I mean, it just is. So something to think about there. I Wilkin, I still can't buy it.
He's doing great.
He's doing great. Like, there's great power there, but he's also, I mean, they don't need an air conditioner at any of the parks he's in either, because he swings and misses so much that creates enough force to keep the crowd cool. I cannot imagine that goes well when he gets to the major league level. But
44 walks to 51 Ks.
Yeah, the walk rate this year is tremendous for him. I don't know. I cannot buy it with him. So we'll see what's going on. And don't talk about the Timberwolves game. It's pissing me off. I'm watching it right now, and it's not making me happy. So,
Well, Robbie, are you buying? Do you think Wilkins a real? Hey, make a move here. Go get him.
I wasn't aggressive enough in most dynasty leagues to pick him up. I think I have one share in a 24 team 8x8. So it's nice to see, but I also am still not buying into Milwaukee developing guys long term, because Keston Hira has scarred me close to Wade Miley level. I need to see, because, and we've seen, you know, what Garrett Mitchell come up, we've seen the other outfielder, Sal Frelick. We've seen guys come that are supposed to do it, and then they all fade out. So it'd be great if they had, you know, the idea of like Baltimore as well, right? Lots of high talent guys. Look at what Baltimore is doing this year. It's very difficult to put together a consistently good team and to feed it from within. So I don't know that Milwaukee's going to be in this position. It would be amazing if they were, but
Trujillo is like their one exception. You know, but the other guys that are their quote unquote best hitters in their lineup, when healthy, would be, you know, Christian Yelich and William Contreras, who both did most of their finishing in the minors and in the early majors with another organization.
Right.
And then they got to the majors and they kind of took a different step forward with Milwaukee, but as a major leaguer, not needing any more development in the minors, which that has been something they've excelled in, is when they'll bring in a guy, a Rowdy Tellez, and they'll get more out of him than most other people were able to for half a season. That's something they've been able to do quite a bit, but I wouldn't trust that's going forward. I mean, like you said, you've got a guy who's hitting 200 with a 400 on base and big power. Are you going to be able to develop him to where that's not 150 with a 300 on base as a major leaguer? Because I don't care what kind of power he has, if he's hitting 150, he ain't getting up. So
That's Augustin Ramirez right now in the show. Ba-boom, baby. Time to end it.
Good job. Great job.
Here's Lonzo Podcast AMA. The open discussion show is in the books. Thanks for participating. Thanks for the pre-show questions on the Discord. Discord link is in this description. Every video we do on YouTube, every podcast we post, there's Link is in the description if you want to join. It's totally free. No problem. Come on in. Talk shop with us. Scream into the void. Whatever you got to do. It's all available for you in the Palazzo Podcast Discord. You follow Big Gentle Ben on Twitter and Robbie Baseball and myself, MJ Govia, Palazzo Podcast 2Ls, 2Zs.
Utah.
At Mike VA, at Britton Allen, 2Ts, 2Ls. And Utah. Sam Wershey's out there, too. Although he's not on Twitter. He's only on Blue Sky. He also runs an excellent business. So if you're in the Washington area, stop by and say hello. I'm sure he'll be in the store somewhere. Bring your dog in and buy some food.
Butt cuts? He's gotten butt
cuts. It is. That's correct. Yes. The 1994 film starring Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. Yes. Dumb and Dumber. Mutt cuts. That's where he got it from. Even bought the copyright on it. Got the trademark and everything.
Pull it off.
Yeah. It's anarchy. But yeah, thanks for being here, Joe, Chad, Jimmy, everybody else in the live chat. You guys trusted. Todd Nolte, thanks for being here. Hopefully you enjoyed and you'll be here every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time, just like we will be next Monday. That's it. Ben, Robbie, Mike. Bye! Happy Memorial Day. Easy.
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. It's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.